We're traveling through the Bible around here. We are in the book of 2 Corinthians. This morning we're at chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. The ushers want to make sure you have a Bible to study with, so just raise your hand. They'll pass it over to you. If you need it to keep, it's yours. No charge for it, of course. If not, just drop it off on the way out. But if you need it or someone else does, pass it on to them. They also have pencils for keeping notes with, if you like a pencil there. But in particular, make sure you grab a Bible, turn to Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, we're going to begin at verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Paul writes, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Very well-known portion of Scripture, of course. But unfortunately, I think too often, believers, though we know it, may we come short of gaining the perspective that this verse is calling us to. See, Paul had learned to see things from God's perspective. He had gained the eternal perspective, and so he declares here, because of it, he says, we do not lose heart. And so this morning, that's where I want to begin, and I'd ask of you, where are you in all of that? Perhaps you are losing heart. Maybe you come in this morning struggling, wondering about some things, why things are going the way they are. You're struggling to gain God's perspective. You know, when Paul uses words like light to describe the afflictions that we go through, when he says they are but for a moment, it's possible it might cause in us a couple different reactions. For some, maybe just kind of raise your eyebrows or go, light for a moment? You got to be kidding me. For others, you hear Paul say this, and you might be tempted to write him off. When he says that his afflictions were light and they're but for a moment, you might say, well, then he certainly never went through the things I've gone through. Because if he had, he never could call these things light. Well, actually, as we're going to see, Paul faced more than most, if not all of us, have had to face. But see, it isn't what he went through that's going to be the point. It's how he went through them. It's what God taught Paul and he wants us to lay hold of. This morning, don't just come to church. Let's make sure we come to the Lord. Let's sit at his feet. And let's not just gain a mental understanding of something, but let's from our hearts gain God's perspective. It's his desire for us and it's our need in all that we face. This morning, I've called our time together, based on verse 17 there, I've called our time our light affliction. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You love us. Just as we are, you love us. Thank you that while we were yet sinners, Father, you sent your Son to die for us. That you love us so much, love this whole world, that's everybody, that you sent your Son to pay that price. And thank you that for each one who has received that work on the cross, we sit here forgiven. But now, Lord, help us really step back and look at how we're handling our day-by-day situations. As these trials and afflictions come our way, Lord, raise our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, upwards. Help us gain your take on things. Lord, work in this time and work in our lives. Lord, help us leave here more loving than we came in. Help us leave here, Lord, just more hopeful than perhaps some of us came in here. Lord, just use this time now and challenge and encourage and work in us and through us all you desire. So, Lord, help us truly hear you now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's work our way through the text and see what the Lord would have for us in here. Go to verse 16. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So Paul begins right here by helping us understand that we kind of, if you will, exist in two ways, so to speak. There's this tent we live in, this outward man, he calls it. And then there's the inward man, the inner person. And he points out here, first of all, that this outward man is perishing. Do you doubt it? Is there anybody here doubts that that tent that you're living in is getting more and more frayed and worn every day? If you doubt that you're perishing, then I suggest that you're probably very young. And you're thinking like, oh, I'm in my prime, I'm getting better and better, stronger and stronger, this thing's looking pretty good. But most of us, we get out of bed in the morning and it creak, pop, bang, and we wander over to the mirror and look in the mirror and go, ooh. And we recognize this old tent is wearing out. Well, in contrast to that, though, the Lord, through Paul, has this encouraging word. Though this tent that's simply built for this environment, we're going to lay it aside someday, but while it is wearing thin, he says, but know this, the inward man is being renewed day by day. The inward man here speaks of the real us, that spirit, that part of us that came alive when we received Christ as Savior. We were born again, and now there's that part inside of there. So the tent's what you see when you look up here, but the real Dale lives inside here. And that's the part he's talking about. That while the outside's wearing out, the inner side, the inside, the real me, is being renewed day by day. Now, I am most days pretty aware of the outward man perishing. I am certain that they're building the floor further and further away. Some of you know what I mean by that. You go to pick up something, go to tie your shoes, and you go, man, I'm sure the floor is further away than it used to be. The muscles get sore quicker. By the time evening comes, you're ready to conk out on the couch. See, some of you know this. And it just shows us we're wearing out. These bodies wear out. But thank God, how awesome it is that in the midst of that, the real me, the inner man in all of us, is being renewed every day. That there's a molding and shaping into the image of Jesus Christ taking place in each believer. And notice that. It says day by day he's doing this work of renewing us. Every day he gives me that strength. Every day he's more than enough. He's sufficient for the things of our day. Day by day he's doing this work. Not just in spurts. Not just on those days when you're feeling really spiritual. You know the days when you're getting real victory over your thought life and you're not being tempted by anything and you're going along strong, spending time in the Word and praying, everything's going good? Oh, certainly, I'm being renewed today. He's working today. As if somehow we've earned this work and deserve it. You know what? Every day he's at work. It says day by day. And everything's a candidate for him to do that work in our lives. But it's not just in spurts or something, or not just as we earn it, but day by day, he has taken it upon himself to do a work. You know the verse, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he, the Lord, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God has taken it upon himself. It says he's begun a good work, and he's going to complete it. And it's a work that he's doing every single day. Every single day, each part of that day is a candidate for him to work. Look at verse 17 now. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, how do you react to a verse like that? I mean, what do you do with that? He says, for our light affliction. Light affliction. Had Paul never gone through anything rough? How could he make a statement that what we go through, the things we face, are light? Turn forward a couple of chapters to chapter 11 of this book. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 11. Start at verse 23. Let's consider if Paul had gone through anything rough. We're in the 11th chapter now, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Based on these verses, does Paul call what he's been through light because he hadn't been through anything? On the contrary, we see here, he's been through much. How do our trials stack up to what Paul had gone through? Do we call ours light? He calls his light. But then, not only does he call them light, you can go back to our text in chapter 4. Not only does he call them light, though they were severe and much, but then he says, which are but for a moment. Now he challenges us even more, so to speak. First he says light, and we're going, light? Man, I mean, these things I've been through and I'm going through, it feels like it's going to crush me. Light? And then he says, which are but for a moment. And that stretches us more. Because that's not what we so often would say about what we go through. For a moment, we'd say, man, it seems like it's been going on forever and ever. We're often saying, Lord, when's this going to end? What am I going to get out of it? When's it going to stop? How can Paul say all this? How can he call it light and but for a moment? Because he has his eyes, the eyes of his heart, meaning his priorities, his focus in life, what he's about. He has his eyes somewhere. He has his eyes fixed on eternity. He has his eyes fixed on the work that God is doing through it all. So Paul here is speaking of them as light or as for a moment, only in the sense of a contrast to something. That the things that we go through, the things he had been through, they're only light in comparison to what's up ahead. They are light and they are for a moment compared to what's up ahead. See, the things we go through are having a far greater result in our lives than we so often are aware of. And so we miss out on that. We miss out on that understanding and the peace and all it brings from that. They are working a far more exceeding, it says. That means a far greater and eternal, not for the moment, but something that will last forever. He's working an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So consider the contrast Paul is pointing out here. He takes afflictions, which we all know of those, at one level or another. But he contrasts with what? He says they're light afflictions compared to what? Glory. Light versus the weight of glory. That although they seem so heavy now, if put in the scales of eternity in God's perspective, you have all your afflictions on one side, but then if you put the weight of glory in the other, it makes the afflictions seem light. If what seems heavy to us, God calls light, it's not from lack of compassion. Rather, it's simply in contrast. Yes, we go through rough things. I've traveled with many a person, some of you. sat by the bedside of those who are ill, been with those who've gone home to be with the Lord, been through so many, you know, marital situations, relationship problems, financial troubles, just so many things people struggle with. And I prayed with and cried with and traveled with many here. And I would never, and God certainly would never make light of those things. He's simply saying they're light versus the weight of glory that he's trying to help us see. Compared to what awaits us, the day will come, we'll look back and see that indeed they were light compared to what we will someday soon have. And again, the contrast there for a moment compared to the eternity up ahead. Yes, we might go through something 10, 20, 30 years, maybe an entire lifetime. And again, not making light of that struggle. How sad that sometimes we have to bear up under such things for so long. And yet God wants us to understand that in light of eternity, it will seem like the blink of an eye once we're home. But notice this. Not only are they light and temporary by comparison, but notice what else he says about these things we go through, this light affliction. Look at verse 17 again. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. See, these things we go through, he wants us to not only get his viewpoint so we'll understand how they compare to eternity and all, but not only that, but he wants us to see God's using those things. He's working here. It says he's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So our afflictions are not only light compared to eternity, not only temporary or for the moment compared to eternity, but they are transforming afflictions, meaning they are working something in us. And notice that is working. Again, day by day, this process is at work. Paul is writing with eternity's view in mind. He was weighing the present trials against the future glory, and he discovered that his trials were working for him something. And so in Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You notice, when I read the list of what Paul has gone through, the beatings, stoning, shipwrecks and all, he specifically is talking about what? Things that he experienced because he was serving the Lord. These happened as he went on his missionary journeys. These happened as he'd go into the cities and try to share, and people would reject it and get angry at him. He could have chosen, is what I'm saying, he could have chosen to say, you know what, this is too much. Why am I getting beat up if they don't want to hear it? I just won't bother. And he could have chosen not to, but really he couldn't, because the love of God constrained him. And he to choose to not go through this would have meant choosing to go opposite from his master. And Paul wasn't about to do that. And so he went forward, but the way he's able to go forward is because he understood what was in the balance. He understood the contrast of what was up ahead for him. That there's this work that all we go through these sufferings, these afflictions are not worthy to be compared with the glory to be revealed in us. Now, I also want to point out something, though. I want to read a quote from the Bible Exposition Commentary. They said it well, so I'm just going to steal it from them. At least I'm giving them credit. But let me read this quote to you. Quote, "We must not misunderstand this principle and think that a Christian can live any way he pleases and expect everything to turn into glory in the end. Paul was writing about trials experienced in the will of God as he was doing the work of God. God can and does turn suffering into glory, but he cannot turn sin into glory. Sin must be judged because there is no glory in sin." End quote. As we yield to him, serve him, follow him, then when we go through, we know that he's working in it and using it. But sin is what Jesus had to die for. Don't do any old thing you want and think that somehow God is going to bless that. But if we will walk in his ways, be his, just pick up that cross and follow him, then we have this assurance here that is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So now we get down to how Paul was able to do so much of this, and that is he was looking at something. Now obviously you go, wait a minute, how can you look at something that can't be seen? Well, it's speaking about spiritual sight. See, the word used for look here, what we don't look at, what we're supposed to be looking at, the word used for look here in this verse does not mean a casual glance. But rather, the commentators tell us that it's a word that suggests an intense examination, a constant scrutiny, a steady gaze. Paul had taken the time to really sit down and consider God, how He works, what He's done, the good news, all those things. He'd sat down and he'd taken the time to look at God, to fix his eyes upon God, to get God's perspective. And that brought him to certain conclusions. See, we're a people that are called to be occupied with the eternal, not with the temporal. But our society fights against that. Our culture fights against that. Hebrews 11:1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What we see around us is temporary. Thank God for a place to meet like this, a roof over your head, your car to get to work or whatever. But those things are temporary. They're going to burn. They're going to pass. And so he tells us, don't put your heart on those things. Don't live for those things. These things aren't worthy of living your life for, but it's all the world knows. And therefore, it's what the world pushes. Buy this car, have this television, have this house, whatever it is, make more money, have this, all these different things the world pushes with the idea that somehow in that you find something worthy of your life. You'll find that which your heart's longing for. It'll fill that space, but it never does. It's always a ripoff. It's all sinking sand. It's not worthy of building our lives upon. And so he says, we don't look at those things which are seen. They're temporary. They're going to pass away. They're not worthy of building your life on. But we're to look at the eternal. The unseen things, the things of the Spirit, the things of the spiritual realm, we're to remember that and be about that. There is an eternity ahead. You must settle the issue. For every believer, we have the promise and the assurance of an eternity with God. And that's far beyond what you can understand now. You and I can't take in what that's really about. We don't really understand how big God is, what heaven's going to be like. We see through a mirror dimly. But this life will soon be gone. Oh, we might be another 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know. But relatively speaking, it will soon be gone. And only what's done for Christ will last. And the things we will have been through will be light in comparison to that eternity. A moment compared to that eternity. To the weight of the glory that we're going to experience once we're home. These truths are not just for super saints and apostles. Did you notice he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man, verse 17, for our light affliction, in the middle of the verse, for us, verse 18, while we, words like that, words that point to we, you, us, he's trying to say that this is for all believers. If you receive Christ as Savior, you're heaven-bound, and these things are true. Now live in the peace and the joy and the assurance of that. Paul introduced these three verses with the word therefore. So what we're reading is a sort of conclusion. Therefore is a connecting word. Therefore means based on what was just said, the following is true. I want to get the context to why in verse 16 he says therefore. Go back to verse 8 for a moment. We'll just read through these. But this is awesome stuff. Good stuff. Verse 8, starting at verse 8. So we understand how he got to that conclusion. Now again, we could read tons and tons. Time won't allow us. So for now, we'll just jump in right here. Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. So I just want to pause for a moment. Paul talks about, yeah, we went through some rough things. There were times we were hard-pressed. We were perplexed. We didn't get it. Didn't understand it. Felt like indeed it might crush us. We were persecuted. We wouldn't have won any popularity contest. We were struck down. But look what he says. That contrast. But not crushed. We weren't in despair. We weren't forsaken. We weren't destroyed. He learned these things. He learned about the faithfulness of God. Therefore, he's saying, so keep your mind, your hearts fixed on that, on the faithfulness of God and how God works. And then he says, both in verse 10 and verse 11, that these things he was going through, he recognized why? That the life of Jesus might be manifested, revealed, displayed in those things. Remember? He said, there's that far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory being worked. And therefore, people can see Jesus as we go through these things. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving. Pretty cool for this week, huh? Cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Based on all these things, based on the fact that he raised up Jesus, and he's going to raise us up with Jesus and present us together, based on that all things for our sakes, that grace having spread through us may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God, based on all these things, therefore, verse 16, therefore, based on that, we do not lose heart. See, that can only be if you remember these things, if you live in light of these things, if you keep your eyes fixed on the resurrection power and what he's done, is doing, and will do, what's up ahead, his faithfulness. If we'll keep our minds and hearts focused on the fact that we are being renewed inside, even though the outside's getting older, that he's working this far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, when we get our eyes on, look to, live in light of the eternal, these truths and all, then we find the basis for what Paul is saying here when he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. So this morning I ask you, are you losing hope? Have you been struggling with that? Maybe you're not just struggling with it, but maybe you'd sit here and say pretty much you've lost hope. It's time to get these truths settled in your heart. The Lord's telling us this, calling us this, to this, offering this to us so we can raise our gaze up in such a way that it will bring about certain things in us. Basically, that we'll have hope, a true and living hope. We won't lose heart. We can have this joy and peace and all that He wants us to have. Now, for some of you, it might be the very first time you've ever really heard about this, that God wants to offer this to you, He makes it available, that you can go through life looking to the eternal, not the temporary. That you don't have to let circumstances be in the driver's seat any longer. You don't have to be duped by this world and advertising and culture and all and keep getting ripped off. But instead, you can look up. You can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And you can understand and know that He's working these things. And that in comparison, they're light, and they're but for the moment because of what's up ahead, what He has prepared for us. For some, you knew it, but you got your eyes off it. it's time for you to get your eyes back on the eternal. Somehow the things around you got your attention and you bought into it. Not saying they weren't hard, not saying they weren't of concern, but you let them back in the driver's seat. So the call is to once again fix your eyes on the eternal. Now someone might say, Pastor, it's because things got so hard that I got my eyes off the eternal. It's because the trial was too much that I gave up the battle, I gave up the fight. I would suggest the opposite is probably true. It wasn't because things got so hard that you got your eyes off of Him. It's because you got your eyes off of Him that things got so hard. You started looking at the waves, and down you went. It's like Peter. You got your eyes off of Him and onto the problem. Be careful. Where are the eyes of your heart? The eyes of the real you? The eyes of your understanding? Where are they fixed upon this morning? Many things compete for that gaze. Remember, it's not just a casual glance. It's you're going to fix your heart on it type of look. It's a, I'm going to decide on this. This is the way I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to live. It has to do with your values, what you live for. See, are you more about the temporal than the eternal? Now, you don't answer that by just your words, of course. You answer it by your life. God knows what we're really living for. He knows what gets you out of bed in the morning. If your highest goal is making money, success in business, power, fame, pleasure, do those things have their place in life? Yes, but they're not worthy of living your life for. You shouldn't let them all be in the driver's seat. Instead, there's this call here. Be about the eternal. So ask yourself, am I more about the temporal, the things around me? Am I more hung up on what I'm going to dress, you know, wear and buy and get and consume? Or am I more about the things of God, the things of the Spirit? The call, put and keep your eyes on the eternal. You see, those who do that, those who understand that God is faithful in all we go through, those who understand that He raised up the Lord and He's going to raise us up with Him, those who understand that He's poured out this grace on us so that all the praise and thanksgiving would go to God, those who understand that in comparison to eternity, these things now are light, but for a moment, that through all these things He's working an exceeding and eternal weight of glory, those who have their eyes fixed on the eternal, they will, with Paul in verse 16, be able to say, we do not lose heart. That's the invitation today. I pray we'll receive it, walk in it, rest in it. I invite the worship team to come up here and join us. I'd like to encourage you. If you heard something today that you'd like some prayer about, there'll be prayer partners available in the prayer room. Or maybe you have some questions. They'd be glad to talk to you about those things. But what place does the temporal have in your life? How much weight do you give the things of this world? Have you set aside the eternal for the temporal? Then God's calling. And the awesome thing is, there's a place. There's a place of fixing our hearts and our minds and the eyes of our heart. There's a place to live for that's worth it. Well, the call is simply, it's time to get back to being about the eternal. It's time to get God's perspective so that we will not lose heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What love you have for us. And so, Lord, this morning we hear you from your heart. You're calling to our hearts to look up, to look to you, to get your perspective on these things. Lord, we recognize that you're not saying it's no big deal what we go through, that there aren't things that hurt. You, of course, are well aware of the pain and all we struggle with. But there's a hope. There's a place we can be lifted up above those things. There's a view we can gain that changes the perspective. It sees us through and all. It's in you. Look in you. Look into the eternal, getting your perspective. So help us, Lord. For those who need that work this morning, Lord, help them to receive it. Indeed, for all of us, Lord, challenge us. What are we really about? Where does the temporal fit in our lives compared to the eternal? Oh, Lord, Thank you. Thank you that there is that place that we can rest in and be all about in Jesus. And in Jesus, we don't lose heart. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.